said, "So, how many of you think the United States Constitution should be done away with and we should adopt something that is more up-to-date and fits us better as a society?" He thinks he was the only student in the class that did not raise their hand, which means that that teacher, unless all those students' parents are socialists or communists, that teacher taught that class in such a way that those students, except for him being a well-grounded person and knew what he believed and knew the Constitution, that teacher taught that class in such a way that every other student in that class thought socialism is preferable to our own Constitution. I don't know. I have never seen in all the times I've been in the school, I've never seen or heard that the board members, do you vet the teachers, or is that an administration
thing?
That's
administrative.
Okay. You're still responsible. The administration, if they vet the teachers, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution. If they're hiring students or teachers that degrade our Constitution, you need to know that. And that needs to be dealt with. That's going to lead up to what I'm going to say now. There's a storm coming. For the last 50 years in the United States, God the Father in heaven has watched the degrading of the school system, the mockery of his son Jesus Christ, who died for everybody present in this room and everybody in the world. He has watched him be ridiculed and mocked in the school system. When I was in school, when we were in school, first time, my first grade teacher read a Bible story. By the time I was in third grade, it was illegal. God's done with that. He has watched the students in the schools in the United States be used as pawns in a game that the enemy's playing to lead their souls to hell. He's finished with it. There's a storm of righteousness and justice and truth coming. God is going to take action. You have to decide which side you're on. There's things that need cleaned up. There's things that need set right. I know in a lot of the meetings I listen to the talk about cyber schools. I have four grandchildren that live in the district. None of them attend the district school because of the curriculum. They will not. My daughter, one daughter homeschooled her own kids, did the cyber school thing, and they did not choose the school's curriculum because of the influences that are not godly. Another one's in Christian school. It's time to clean up the ship. Decide whose side you're on, the truth or the other side. That's what I have to say. Thank you for your time. I would like to stay for the rest of the meeting, but I do have a grandson playing baseball back there.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave, for your comments.
Have a good night.
All righty.
Just a couple comments regarding the masking. That's still a moving target. We're taking in information. I don't anticipate that the need for masks, particularly at the secondary level, since vaccinations are available. The elementary level, we have no intention of having students mask unless, there's a real outbreak in the community, and we've got to be flexible. We've got to see, how things go. The one obligation we may have is masking on buses. We're still trying to sort out fact from fiction there because that CDC requirement has existed and continues to exist. I know there's a lot of concern about the ESSERS funds. The folks who implemented all that at the end of the day put really the decisions in local hands. They have recommendations, but really with the way they have that set up, I don't expect the CDC to enforce any kind of ruling that they make because at this time they're making recommendations, not orders. There's a big difference. Now, depending on what happens, if there is a flare-up in the county or in this area, we certainly would prevent, do what we had to keep kids safe. That's what we have to do. But sitting here again, I still do not anticipate masking for our students, at least initially, and maybe perhaps all school year, depending on what happens. So that's where we are with that. Again, the information continues to evolve depending on how the variants move and you know, the vaccination rate, et cetera. But right now, the county is really in phenomenal shape regarding our current COVID numbers. So we're okay there. The second thing regarding curriculum, I would be interested in knowing specifics, and I would recommend you work with Dr. Larkin. She can get you access to all the curriculum. We have no hidden curriculum here. And if there's specific, you know, when you have specific concerns, they should be addressed directly and with as much factual information as you can. You know, Mr. Horst, that's interesting to me. I would like to know the context of that conversation, but if it happened during the school year, it's a little late to try and track that down. We don't teach socialism here we don't preach socialism here, but I'm sure it's discussed as various forms of government that exist. So there are my comments, but if anyone wants to follow up, you know, feel free to contact me or Dr. Larkin specific to curriculum if you wish. We're happy to answer your questions. We're happy to meet with you if you want. You know, we really do pride ourselves on our transparency and it's all there for you to see. So thanks, Mr. Wentz.
Okay, thank you. Would any board members like to make any comments? All right. We'll all be available after the meeting if anybody would like to talk to us. All right, the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda? The moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been properly moved to second. Any discussion? Anybody from the personnel?
Yes, we have some people that are being approved this evening, and we'd like to introduce them at this time. We'll start with Kara Martin.
Good evening. It's my honor to introduce Jen Lakatos to the board, and Jen is joining us as a veteran teacher coming to us from Maryland, the Baltimore Public School System in Maryland, and she received her undergrad at Penn State University and her master's in reading at McDaniel College, and she is going to be the learning support teacher at Blue Ball Elementary School. We're excited for all of her skills that she's bringing to our team.
And oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You just said hello. Okay. And our next presenter will be Heather Schrantz.
I'd like to introduce to you Lisa Kemp. She is the new administrative assistant at Blue Ball. She'll be job sharing with one of our other ladies who works to really keep us going, to say the least. But Lisa is a New Holland resident. Her children attend New Holland Elementary. She comes to us actually from the private sector. She's similar role in the medical offices. So I thank Lisa. And our next introduction will come from Jenna.
Good evening. I have the pleasure to introduce Christina Esch. She is coming to us from the School District of Lancaster with 20 years of experience in kindergarten, and she will be fulfilling a kindergarten role for us at Blue Ball. So we are honored to have her and excited for her to begin.
Like I said, I want to let Dr. Larkin warn you about President Wentzel, you know, a little bit, just a little bit. So I'll just ask you, where did each one of you grow up? Where did you go to high school and things like that?
I grew up in Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Morton High School.
Okay.
And then after Penn State, my parents are from Baltimore, Maryland. So we traveled around a bit for my dad's job. So after graduating from Penn State, I wanted to go near other family and ended up outside of Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, thank you.
I graduated from Cokesville.
Okay.
And I have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology from the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right.
I went to Northeastern High School. It's a
York County?
York County,
okay,
yeah.
Yes.
Pretty tall. We didn't have a football team whenever I was in school. And then I went to Miller
Millersville. I eventually met my husband and moved to the Ephrata area.
Okay, thank you. And any questions from the other board members? I know it's. I always like to see where our new faculty are coming from and where the different parts of the state that they're, or the country they're bringing to us. All right. No other additions, Nadine? That's it? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dr. Hollister has a comment for you.
Yeah, congratulations, ladies. Thanks for joining our team. We're really proud to have you come on. It's an amazing school district. We are really doing really well, both financially and on the achievement side. So you're joining a really good team, well-functioning school district. I would recommend that you print out the minutes and keep them in your scrapbook, in your professional scrapbook. I always recommend that folks do that because I always did, so I guess I just passed that along. It's an important step in your career, so you know, make sure you make a note of it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. Thank you. And as Dr. Hollister, you're free to leave if you'd like to.
You want to go start preparing your classrooms? That's great.
Okay. Moving on
they
to...
They all went to town hall for dinner.
Property and services, Dr. Ramsey. Okay, Mr. Ramsey, not Dr. Ramsey.
Thank you.
I gave you a promotion.
Thank you
there.
For the promotion. I appreciate that. Oh, good. I like that sound.
A lot more headaches, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have one action item for this evening. If you recall, we did, as part of our partnership with the Columbia Borough School District, we did extend services with some of our business office staff in the area of accounts payable and human resources support. The initial addendum was for 1 year just to see how it would go and make sure it would not be the drastic impact on our staff. And it has gone very well from both sides. So we would like to extend that addendum to mirror the contract time period till 2020, the end of 2026. That's our current agreement with the business manager and the human resource director. So we kind of want to align those two together. The total cost for 21-22 would be just under $31,000. It would go up each year based on the index.
Okay. Any of the board members have any questions about that? All right. Do I have a motion to approve that?
You have a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And that's it for your.
That's it. Yep.
Okay, Dr. Larkin, program.
Yes, we have no action items tonight. We're getting ready for the school year. If you could click on the EOL open house, this is an information item. And we will be having four sessions, but 2 days of open houses for our Elanco Online Academy. We're making sure that we get information out to families, not only those that are already in cyber charter schools elsewhere, but also those learners and their families who are in our EOL program or have questions concerning if they want to join our EOL program. Also, we are not doing the in-person remote learning. We talked about that. We're not doing that this year. So we have some families that are on the fence whether they would like to do EOL that did IPR last year. And so if you could up that a little bit, there you go. This letter went out with a flyer to those families, and our dates, Zoom sessions are July 28th at 9 to 10 a.m. and 6 to 7 p.m. And then on Tuesday, August 3rd, we're going to have in-person meetings 9 to 10 and 6 to 7 in the Garden Spot High School Library Media Center. And that is for anyone K-12.
Okay.
Any questions about that? And then if I could add just one more update. Greg Frederick and myself did meet with the program committee last week. And we looked at curriculum. We looked at the process that we're going to revise for addressing curricular needs at the secondary level. So we should have feedback from the administrative team on that to share with you in August. We also talked about how we could monitor online programs that are different than when you approve a textbook. You're approving the textbook and it's there, and it doesn't change regularly. Programs such as Newzella or BrainPop, as you've brought up, do change more often. So we're going to put a process in place that will have us reviewing those yearly to get a, just continue to be fresh with what is the content in there and make sure it still aligns with what we are looking for. So that was the plan that we put in place from the program committee, and we will give you more information on that as we roll those pieces out.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Larkin. Are there any further questions for Dr. Larkin?
That ends my report.
So, real quick, how are we going to, you're saying we are reviewing those things?
No, you're reviewing them. We have curriculum specialists, which we put in place just this year. So the program committee and Greg Frederick and I decided we would have the curriculum specialists do it with some administrators and then some support specialists as well. And they would do a review. We'd have some type of review form, checklist, and some, is it there, is it not there, those kinds of things, what's new. And then that would be reported back to administration, and we would then bring it to you at the board level, program committee, and then the board level.
Okay. Do we have access to those materials?
When we get them, you will. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything that's found that you feel would be concerning to the board, will that be reported to us?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And if there's enough there that we think we need to determine whether we should still use that as a resource, that will also come for the board for approval.
Okay. Any further questions from the board? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to management. Dr. Hollister.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Wentzel. No action items. I do want to just remind the board, I did send this information to you from the solicitor regarding the changes in our board meetings. We've got to be just a little more careful. We don't introduce topics of major discussion, essentially what it boils down to, introduce topics of major discussion and take action without those items being on the agenda itself. Makes sense. It's just so folks don't throw information on either the administration or the board at the last minute, and then it's not properly advertised to the community. We've not done that, and we've always posted our agendas. We actually hit most of what the new rules say. There are some exceptions for that. Threats, clear and present danger, de minimis types of things just that don't include finances or major impacts on children or major decisions in general about a direction. There is also a mechanism if the board really does need to put something on the agenda, then there's a process for that. And it's really just a caution to make sure we don't fall into that trap of putting things onto the agenda, either accidentally or intentionally, during a meeting because it's not been advertised. So it makes sense. So just a reminder, and I did send that document to you for your review, but I wanted to highlight it again. The next item I have is just an information item. We are desperate for employees, desperate for our support staff. STS, our partner group, is really struggling to find paraeducators. We're going to try to really push that in Canvas and try and promote and push parents to participate in the STS as well as the substitute pool because we're just short people right now, more so than we have been at this time of the year in any year that I've been here. So we are concerned about that. We're going to do everything we can, but I do want to make the board aware that we are desperate for paraeducators. I have no action items, and we just have, I guess we're on to reports.
Okay. Mr. Ramsey, Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
We did not have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is September 9th.
Okay, thank you. IU-13, Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU does not have a meeting in July, so the next report I will have for the board will be for the August Lancaster Lebanon IU-13 board meeting.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Moving on, the Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Mayo.
Okay. Well, we had our meeting in June, which was a couple days after our meeting here. Since it's summer, you know, not a whole lot going on. All our meetings have been held at the Willow Street campus, which personally for me is really far away. So they're going back to rotation of the campuses again, which is nice for a lot of people. They awarded the Lancaster County Career Technology Foundation Workforce Talent Healthcare Grant to an LPN student that will be awarded when she graduates in December. Let's see. They have a bunch of property, like summer projects going on. They're all moving along really good. They're actually going to have an in-person back-to-school night, and everybody's like so super excited about that. let's see. I think that's about it. Like I said, the other thing they're doing is they're having a they're updating their equipment and their technology and stuff. So they're going to be offering like some of the other stuff to school districts at reduced rates and just to put stuff in school district instead of just, I don't know, landfilling it. I'm not sure what they would do with it. Anyway, that is my report.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mrs. Mayo? All right, moving on to legislative. Mr. Ramsey, could you give a comment on the budget, final budget the state passed?
Yes, the final budget was passed. There was an increase in it for the basic ed funding and also special ed funding. $200 million is going through the new funding formula, and special ed received a $50 million increase through the new funding formula as well. What does that mean to our district? We received just under $260,000 increase in basic ed, and we received just under $13,000 in special ed. So those two together are just over $272,000.
Okay. Other comments I have, it was in the paper the other day about key issues awaiting the General Assembly's return. Of course, number one was election reform, which was passed and then vetoed by Governor Wolf. And the earliest it could be brought back, that we could see something on the ballot in 2023. Of course, there's the $5 billion in federal relief dollars that have been dispersed among the states for different agencies and that. One other I'd like to give, it's kind of been battered around in some candidates statewide, or about cannabis legislation. Just to look at that kind of, I remember back in the 70s when the lottery was passed, that was going to be the Pennsylvania lottery, that was going to be the financial savior of the state of Pennsylvania for finances. And then we had the gambling there in the around 2008, something like that. That was going to be the savior of finances in Pennsylvania, and neither one of them has saved us. So now we're moving on to cannabis and all the issues that go with that. So it'll be interesting what comes out of that in the future going forward. I'm sure that'll be tagged as the latest savior to the budget in Pennsylvania. So that's my political comment for tonight. Any questions about the legislation? All right, moving on to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Wentzel. Just a few items. First of all, there has been for some time some discussions about a movie regarding our former Stan Dean. Stan was an iconic member of the faculty here and then an iconic member of the community for a long time. And apparently there's a private company that is going to go ahead and make a movie about Stan's life. Including the later years when he adopted one of the students from here. It's so much so, you know, there's been a few conversations, but tomorrow The director and I will actually tour the facility here, scouting out shooting locations. I'm starting to learn my lingo for making movies. So it's pretty exciting. It's a big budget type of film, and it will be inspirational. So we'll be looking forward to working with those folks. And they are hoping to do some filming here on campus, and they're certainly doing some around town as well. So pretty exciting. Second thing is, I just want to make everyone aware the administrative retreat is this week. We've already been gearing up, but this is really the official beginning of the next school year when we get together for the day and really start ironing out some of the vision and procedures and nuts and bolts, as well as vision that we need to implement for the opening of the school year. The last thing I have before an announcement is progress is coming along really well on the synthetic turf on the field. We're on schedule. Macadam has been laid, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. They really did the earth-moving work before all the heavy rains came, so we really got fortunate. They got the ground moved and got the gravel in, so they were able to keep going even though we've had a pretty wet summer. So good news. We're optimistic that our athletes will be using that turf here in the fall. So fingers crossed that everything continues to go well. The last thing I have is an announcement of sorts that I'd like to read to you now. As we settle in after an astonishing and unprecedented year and look forward to the rebirth that comes with each new school year, I wish to reflect briefly. It was a daunting year in so many ways, but also it demonstrated the district's resilience, agility, and fortitude. The same should be said about our learners, who were not kept down despite constantly shifting rules, disappointment after disappointment, and a less than ideal learning environment. Now, all indicator lights are green. We can resume course with earnest toward our goal of multiple pathways to family-thriving careers for each and every graduate. Despite the distractions of the pandemic, the district inched closer and closer toward serving each learner in a more customized and personalized fashion. With what we pray is the worst behind us regarding the pandemic, hopes are again high. A new school year is a mere 6 weeks away. As several folks have indicated, the big yellows will begin running then. A new school year is always filled with renewed aspirations, opportunities, and optimism for learners and adults alike. And so it is with sincere humility that I announce my retirement. A difficult decision, but the time is right. And despite this desire to see a few more projects across the finish line, other demands seek my attention. The passing of the mantle can be a transition challenge for organizations, but it is also an opportunity. A new generation of hungry, energetic administrators awaits the challenges afforded by top-level public school leadership and service. And so I am confident that the good reputation of this district will find that person either from within or abroad. Over the years, I enjoyed watching the administrative team, teachers, and support staff members grow and make this district premier. Steady progress on achievement conducted in a safe, inventive, learner-centered system was an inspiration to witness, all while maintaining long-term financial security, and appropriately balancing the needs of our tax-supporting public. Keep in mind we are ranked 422 out of 500 school districts regarding our tax effort, and at the same time, just this year, landed within the top 100 high schools in the Commonwealth per the most recent U.S. News and World Report ranking. The district was prepared for the challenges going into the pandemic as we were flush with cutting-edge technologies, fiscally sound, and strategically flexible as a system. Our team rallied with each member doing their best in whatever role they serve in the Elanco family. With a heavy but satisfied heart, I share a retirement date early in the new calendar year of 2022, which provides the board at least 6 months' notice from this evening, with an outside departure date no later than March 11th, 2022. This will provide ample time to seek and secure a new leader who can carry on the great works of this district on behalf of this community, the Commonwealth, our beloved country, and the shrinking world community of which we are all a part. I am deeply grateful for the incredible support that I received from our school community and our community at large for nearly 16 years, over 13 years as superintendent. The number of servant-minded, passionate, competent individuals whom I've had the pleasure to know, serve alongside, and simply stand back and admire too numerous to mention. We are truly blessed by those who serve here. My gift from the district is the lifelong friends I take with me. As always, I appreciate your kind attention and look forward to assisting the new leader in the transition to higher achievement and more noble aspirations. With all due respect, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. I don't know whether this would be the time or place. If any board members would like to make any comment, there'll be time over the months to come. But I know it was a shock to myself, and I'm sure to everyone else here at the table tonight when I got the news earlier this evening. All right. All I can say is that we worked together a long time, Bobby. I've been on the board all those years you've been here, and you've grown tremendously as we've gone along. Like you said, this last year has probably been the most challenging year of any year in my memory on the board, and for many years as a school district. But it showed the solid foundation we had in place, that you had put in place, putting good people in place, that we were able to provide maybe not the greatest possible way of teaching kids, but given the situation we were given, it was the best we could do. Mm-hmm. And you're greatly appreciated by the board.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Any other, does any board members have any announcements or anything they'd like to bring before the board tonight? All right. Hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Meeting adjourned.